Welcome to The Contemplative Life. Three pastors, friends, and spiritual companions help us explore spirituality through a contemplative lens.
I'm Christina Roberts.
I'm Chris Roberts.
I'm Christina Kaiser. We're glad you joined us.
Hello, it's great to be with you. Today we are talking about the loneliness epidemic. And perhaps you've heard people talk about this on the internet or as a current health issue of our time. The former Surgeon General Vivek Murthy writes this: "Loneliness is a subjective feeling of isolation. It is not synonymous with being alone. Rather, loneliness reflects how we perceive our relationships and connections with others. Social connection is a key determinant of both our physical and mental well-being. It is as essential to our health as air, water, and food." So as I bring up this notion of the loneliness epidemic, I wonder what comes up for us.
Yeah, as you read that first one, the loneliness is a subjective feeling of isolation, I have recognized this more in recent years. And I think probably because we moved, right? So we went from an area where we knew lots of people and we automatically knew who we would connect with to having to recreate rhythms and establish all of that in a new place. And I have felt this feeling sometimes of being in a room full of people. So you're not alone. You're in a whole cafeteria with other parents, but I'll start to recognize I don't know anybody in this space. And therefore, I feel lonely even as I am with a bunch of people. So I can relate to that notion of it's a subjective feeling. It's funny because I was in a cafeteria for this kind of sports meeting. And the first year I sat with a bunch of seventh grade boys for the meeting and they were so kind, allowing me to sit with them and be the one honorary parent at the table. And then the next year I walked in the room assuming I didn't know anyone. And I ended up sitting right in front of this woman that works at the hair salon that I go to. And she was like, "Oh, hi." And I thought, "Oh my gosh, I know somebody." So that was a really exciting feeling to feel like there was at least some little connection I could make.
Yeah.
I think it's important that we're acknowledging the epidemic around this, that it's not just some one-off people that are feeling lonely. It's not just you, Christina, in the cafeteria, but this is widespread, which is why I think it's something that we're hearing a lot about. I was actually recently listening to Esther Perel. She's a relationship expert and author. And she said this. She said, "Half of the young people in America do not have a best friend, and one in four are cut off from a family member. 60 years ago, in a small community, people hated each other, but you had to continue to see them at church, at school, in the square. Now you ghost someone, you never see them again. It's different. People are experiencing all kinds of social atrophy. It's weird if you start talking with somebody in a bar. Everything is mediated through tech. The more you live in cities, the less you talk to people on the streets." And I think, gosh, that's so real. Again, the widespreadness of this, but even that everything's mediated through text primarily, right? And so the common social interaction that was part of back in the day, or even when I was younger type of a thing, we didn't quite have the same degree of tech that we do now. And just the reality of how that, and again, I like what she's saying, that there's social atrophy, right? And you can slowly seeing it chip away in our lives and in our relationships. So yeah, I would just chime in with Esther Perel's reflections for this conversation.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up tech. So one of the things I get to do in life is I drive school bus for my community. I'm a sub. And whenever I get on the bus, there's a stark difference in a student who doesn't have their device in front of them or a student who does have a device in front of them. And so I'm actually noticing that there are trends in the high school age of whenever I'm on the bus, there are a few people that I notice are trying to be mindful. And so they don't have their device out. And I think they're more likely to engage in conversation with their peers whenever that tech isn't right in front of them. And so I find, I went to a basketball game last night and there was a fifth grader there. And I said, "Oh, you don't have a phone." He goes, "Yeah, my parents won't let me have a phone until I'm whatever age." And he was talking to me about his favorite game. He was talking to me about his favorite candy bar. And I was listening. And then he wanted to know my favorite candy bar. And so we actually played this very fun game of stack your favorite candy bar from least favorite to most favorite and see if like a Jenga game. But I just thought, oh, this was a delightful conversation with this young man. And I think the reason why I was able to have it is because technology wasn't in the way.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty good bet. I think some of my older kids will talk about the difficulty of making friends because everyone is looking down at a phone. So a very different story than it used to be. And actually, with our older ones, we've put the phones away specifically in the car because it's now time to drive. And we realize they don't know how to get anywhere because the head has been down all this time. So just coming off of our street, do I go right or left? And I was like, no more phones in the car because you actually have to know where you're going once you start driving. In other ways, tech has been affecting, I think. You were mentioning a social component in one of your quotes, Christina. And I feel like, yes, now this notion of, oh, I unfriend you on social media, and that's a statement about relationship as opposed to, let's see what we can do to bridge gaps and create relational equity between us. It's just done, gone. That notion of ghosting is a really big deal. And it does create a sense of loneliness. I think I have taken for granted that there are certain people in life whom you just work it out. You have conflict, but then you find a way back into reconciliation. And that has not always been true in the way that I used to think it was true.
And I think as we consider this, I think that some of the contemplative practices that we describe on the podcast can be helpful for this. And I think one is, again, we often talk about awareness and, again, just noticing things. But I think reflecting on our current social connections, I have found helpful. And so I was in a conversation the other day with someone who was feeling lonely. And it's, I don't have friends. I feel lonely. And so I stopped and I said, okay, let's actually reflect on who is in your life. And I was listening to someone, and there's different podcasts or articles that describe the five types of relationships that you need in your life. And everybody has different lists. But the point being that we need a variety of types of relationships in our lives. We need those people that maybe have known us for years and you can pick right up where you left off, or the neighbor where if you need to borrow the snowblower, you can borrow the snowblower, or et cetera, all the different types of relationships, people that you're contributing with. And as we reflected, it was like, oh, actually, there is more than I thought. I am not starting from net zero. There is a pocket of different relationships to me. And when I name them all in these different categories, it actually is quite a bit. And then the question was, and how do we build off of that? Or are there certain relationships that you're feeling stirred towards? Other ones felt like, you know what, this is dry, and it's dry because when I get with this person, there's maybe negativity that I feel from them or whatever. And so how do I work through that? And so it opened up this whole conversation around almost like a relational assessment. And then from there, determining, okay, these are the things that feel really helpful and light right now, and these feel heavier, and this is why. And then from there, you can make some choices. And so I think sometimes just a simple, like a reflective assessment can really help one to maybe work through some of this.
Yeah. And no, I think one of the things that comes to mind as we're talking, the idea of rituals. I think a lot of people don't have rituals. This podcast is about being contemplative. And being contemplative, I think one of the things that you can do to add to the quality of your life is have rituals. I want to go back to a ritual that I have. I'm in a cohort that meets centered around this idea of what it means to be a good neighbor and how do you have neighborhood engagement. And one of the things that I used to do, as I really like engaging with folks in my neighborhood, I had the practice of being outside for X amount of time a day. And I think your systems boil down to your practices. So I noticed that I'm totally more engaged with my neighborhood whenever I was engaging in that practice of being outside X amount of time a day. And so I think setting up these rituals in our lives that will help us to be present to others is a huge component to this loneliness epidemic. And so that's something that comes to my mind as, what are ways to move forward? How do we get out of this as a culture and as a society? And I love some of the things that both of you have brought up. I think engaging in spaces where you're not just mirrored, right? Like people have the same belief what would it be like to have relationships where you listen with curiosity to someone who has a completely different political belief than you or has socioeconomic status than you? What would it look like to engage in these types of relationships? So I really appreciate just the conversation that we're having.
Yes. When you were talking before, Christina, it reminded me a little bit, we talked in the community care episode of who are the people in our lives that we rely on. Even just recently, a neighbor texted and said, can I list you as an emergency contact for basketball? And I thought, we've done it. We've arrived. There's somebody who thinks of us as someone they might rely on in this community. That's a really big deal when we can think through who are my people for what situation. I appreciate that. And along that line of ritual, we've had podcasts where we talk about the rule of life. And I feel like, yeah, social stuff has actually entered into my rules quite often where I think, what is something that's missing in my life? And a lot of times that feeling of meaningful connection comes up because I think for myself, there's a difference between you know me and you know my name. I could tell you my absolute inner thoughts. I could tell you what's actually really hard for me or what I'm struggling with. I could tell you the truth about me. And we would be in that together somehow. To do that, you need friendship. You need sitting around food. There's things that you need. And so that's what ends up in my rule of life is at what interval can I create a meal situation or invite someone into our lives so that we can have meaningful connection with people.
I know we've been giving tech a bad rep, but I think there is also a place where tech can actually help us in this. And one of my practices is sometimes a person's name will come to my mind and I've learned over the years to just reach out with a small, hey, how's it going? You came to mind. I've been thinking of you type of a thing, whether it's a text or a message on Facebook or something like that. Also, recently, I accidentally pocket called a friend of mine, and this has happened like twice now. And instead of saying, sorry, I pocket called you, it was like, hey, because they're like, oh, I saw that you called. And I was like, hey, is there a time we can get together to talk? Because it's been a while. And so we put something on the calendar where we could both connect. And so again, just taking those small gestures or those windows where maybe somebody is coming to mind or there's an accident thing that can lead into a social connection feels meaningful as well.
Yeah, I appreciate you naming that tech can help. And again, I think we're talking about balance, right? Whenever we have a relationship with tech where it's not compulsive, earlier I felt like, oh, are we giving all young people a bad rap because of their engagement with tech? But to be honest, I was at a family gathering where I was maybe one of the youngest individuals in the room. And we were sitting together for an evening and phones were in people's faces. And I was just sitting there quietly wondering if someone would engage in a conversation with me. The television was on, the phones were in front of the face, and I'm sitting there in silence. And this was a gathering that doesn't happen very often. And I think finally, people caught on after like a 15 minute of silence. It's, oh, this family member who is hardly ever here is sitting there in silence and not really zoned out to the television. And it's just sitting there. And yeah, I think everybody who can allow compulsive media or compulsive social, if they could limit that engagement and learn to be present to those that are in front of them, it's only going to increase connection with others.
Yeah, I think that's one of those contemplative things too. I use my phone plenty. Everybody around me would know all my email pushes to my phone so that I can answer in parking lots when I'm waiting to pick up kids, when I'm stirring noodles in a pot. Like it aids me in being able to both work and have a family. And at the same time, creating that intentionality where the phone goes in my purse or it goes in the bedroom. So sometimes like Saturday mornings, someone will be texting and I won't see it till 1 p.m. because I just don't bring my phone with me to family breakfast. And then whatever happens after family, whatever it rolls into, those kind of moments of having intentionality. We've talked about this a little bit, tech breaks. It's not formal for me. I don't have a tech Sabbath in any way, but and yet, maybe it is formal. I just never wrote it down or verbalized it. Who knows?
So I guess maybe just one final thought from me is if one is struggling with feelings of loneliness and feels like, yep, I relate to this loneliness epidemic, I think just the encouragement that it can feel overwhelming. It can feel so isolating and I'm the only one type of a thing. And yet I think sometimes it's amazing how these small gestures, these small things, just having one person, it's not like we have to have 50 friends, just having that one person that cares about us and knows where we're at and having that meaningful conversation, whatever avenue, whether it's in person, Zoom, phone, it doesn't matter. But having that just feels like really helpful as a way forward in this that we're describing.
Yes, absolutely. And I think for those that are listening, this is a podcast about being contemplative. And I think there are ways that we can engage with tech, we can engage with relationships that are super helpful. And I think I love some of the things that have been brought up, particularly around the idea that maybe we just turn up what is already there one notch. Or I love the list, what kind of relationships. And helping our friends, helping those around us realize that maybe there's something there already that is existing, and we just have to be a little bit more mindful about it. And so I really appreciate our conversation today. Well, now is the part of the podcast where we talk about what we are into. So what are we into?
As I think about it, I realize I'm into something really funny that has been developing over the last year. But I am into backing into spaces with the car, which there were years and years and years where I was terrified to back into a space. I was just certain that I would hit things. And so I only ever pulled in and I only ever pulled out. But there's been moments where, oh man, if I could just back into a space, I could actually utilize a space that's way more convenient than the one that I'm parking in. And so I started practicing over the last year, and then I've gotten braver and braver to the point that I backed into a spot at the clinic where there's a lot of other cars and it's narrower parking. And so I'm into it now. I find it useful and helpful, and I feel proud and capable. That is what I am into.
Oh, I love it. Chris is a backer-upper. You guys have that shared kindred spirit. I am not. I'm with the former Christina. That's how I relate. I recognize, and this is nothing new, that I am very much a seasonal eater. And so in the warmer months, I like a smoothie. But in the colder months, that's not as appealing. And so I have been into an afternoon collagen tea. So I love having hot tea. And I have a collagen powder that doesn't have flavor that I will add to my afternoon tea. And it's something good for my body. It's warm, nourishing, and I'm getting some of those smoothie nutrients in a different way. So that is what I am into.
Those are both lovely things. Yes, you're so right not to back if you don't feel comfortable backing. Most accidents that happen are backing. In fact, as a bus driver, is never to back up. So never put yourself in a situation. Of course, I'm fine. I'm in situations where I do have to back up. It's the only way out, but it should be the rare opportunity to back up. So you are safer, but I'm glad that you feel empowered to back up. I am not into a warm beverage or backing up. I recently had a birthday, and for my birthday, I got something that I've had on my list to get for a very long time. And I just haven't been ready to pull the trigger, but Christina, my lovely wife, pulled the trigger on a record player for me. And so I have created a list of records that I want. I have a very expansive playlist of CDs that I've owned, but my very first record was U2 Joshua Tree. And I love just the difference in sitting to listen to a record versus like the access of a digital music listening. And so it's also created wonderful opportunities for me to have connection with my kids, because we actually went to a record store together and we're like browsing all these different sort of unique finds. And so I just think that a record player is going to provide meaningful connection for me and my family, where we find these oddities and we sit down and listen to them together. So I am into a record player. Thank you so much for joining us. It was great to be with you. Hope to see you again soon.
If you enjoy listening to the podcast, we invite you to stay connected by signing up for our Foundry Spiritual Center newsletter, where you can learn about even more programs and offerings. You'll find a link to subscribe in the show notes, or visit us anytime at foundrysc.com. Thanks again for being with us. We hope you have a great week.